Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
The best-selling Scottish crime fiction writer Ian Rankin said that there is no necessity for crime novels to be any longer than 300 pages and that big books get put at the very bottom of the reading list. Is he right? And does it just apply to books or movies? Now too long as well. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Author Sheila O'Flanagan is with us on the line. Do you agree with Ian Rankin, Sheila?
Not entirely, I have to say, although I love Ian Rankin's books. But I think a book should be as long as it takes to tell the story properly. So there are definitely some crime novels which I think could be taken or told under 200 pages. And if you look at novels in the past, like by somebody like Agatha Christie or something, her books are about 200 pages. So you can tell them very quickly. But then it depends. If it's a kind of multi-layered novel, then maybe it needs to be a bit longer. But I wouldn't say 300 pages is an outrageous length for a novel anyway.
Yeah, well, he's obviously implying, though, that there's a lot of the fiction, particularly crime fiction, must be a lot longer than that.
I'm kind of surprised. I'm not sure how many books are much, or how many crime fiction books are much longer than that, because it seems to me just about the right amount of space to tell the story and have a little bit of backstory. I was kind of looking at how books have developed over the years, and in fact, you know, in the past we kind of thought that books were shorter, and although there are, you know, some books that are about 60,000 words or something, an awful lot of books, even the big classics, you know, are very, very long, and they still get read. So I think it is a question of the quality of the writing and the quality of the book.
300 pages, roughly, what does that equate to in terms of chapters, Sheila?
300 pages is probably somewhere around, it's about 100,000 words, or probably slightly less than 100,000 words. I mean, people would expect a book to be about 80,000. Mine tend to be about 110,000, so a little bit longer. Maybe Ian Rankin would throw mine at the bottom of the pile as well. But a book like that, you know, a 300-page book, if you're an average reader, you would read that in a week. And I don't think a week is too long to give to a book.
Not too long. What about you, Sinead? Sinead from the Tired Mommy Book Club is with us, Sheila, as well, today on the programme. Do you agree with Ian Rankin? Do the bigger books get put to the bottom of your reading list?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a question of taste, and certainly I would be more inclined to pick up the 300-odd page books. It doesn't mean there isn't a place for the 600-page books. And interestingly, you know, and I don't want to argue with Sir Ian Rankin, but at the same time, his latest book is over 300 pages, 352 pages, and yet it has an average rating of 4.6 stars on the likes of sort of, you know, Amazon, Goodreads, etc. And you mentioned other crime novels, you know, like Andrea Mara, Catherine Ryan Howard, Liz Nugent, some fabulous Irish crime fiction writers. Their books come in at the 350 to 400 mark, and they are best-selling books. They're my personal favourites. They've been optioned for TV, movies, they're award-winning. So I think you can probably go to 400 pages for crime fiction. And as Sheila said, some of the, you know, the classics, like I just recently read Jane Eyre again for an event I was doing with the Red Line Festival. And that's 624 pages in a particular edition. And again, It depends. You can have an edition that's 400 pages or whatever. The likes of The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which, you know, gets very mixed reviews, but is widely lauded. It's between 500 and 650 pages, depending on the edition you read. Marion Keyes and Maeve Binchy, who are the queens of Irish fiction, their books are, you know, 600, 700 pages and well worth the read. And I know, Andrea, you're a particular fan of non-fiction.
Yeah.
So I just looked up before I came on the call. I'm sure you've read Fintan O'Toole's book, We Don't Know Ourselves.
I haven't,
been recommended. Well, put it on your list. It's probably recommended plenty of times. And that's 624 pages. Now, granted, that's Irish history. We need a lot of space for that. I think it really depends. I think that a short story or novella, like Claire Keegan's books, are perfect, and they come in around the 100-page mark. But equally, I think a book, like going back to crime, the author Chris Whittaker, who has won a Crime Writers Association Gold Dagger for a previous book, his latest book, All the Colours of the Dark, is almost 600 pages. And I've read reviews of it, like Elaine in the Books, who's on Instagram, described it in her review as a stunning incendiary book and the best thing I've read this year. So
okay.
I think if you're writing well and you're keeping the reader's attention. And as Sheila said, you know, there's layers and there's characters, development, this kind of thing. Absolutely. I think a crime book can be as long as, because there's an audience for everything.
Yeah, well, that's very true. And I suppose a lot of it's down to personal taste as well. It's not just books, though. Like, we see this now happening more and more with movies as well. And Rory Cashin, entertainment and culture journalist, is with us on the programme. Like, Rory, I made the point a little earlier. I went to see three brilliant movies last year. Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, both 3 hours long. I thought it was totally unnecessary. And Barbie. Like, Barbie was a great movie, right? But it was 2 hours. It didn't need to be that length.
Yeah, like, I think, again, like, not dissimilarly to the book conversation, but there are certain movies that warrant a certain amount of, like, length to them. Like, if you look at the biggest box office hits of all time, if you take the top five ever, four of those are 2.5 hours or longer. So you've got like Avatar, The Avengers, Titanic. Like, these movies are quite long. And I think a certain kind of movie, you expect a certain length to it because you want some bang for your buck. You want to feel like you've got your money, your money's worth whenever you make the cinema trip anymore. But we have seen certain length of movie, like those snappy 90-minute movies that I think, to use a book terminology, be like a page turner of a movie, like something that rattles along. They do seem to be kind of fading away. And I think part of that reason comes down to streaming. And that's because Netflix and Prime Video and all these streaming channels, they love to tell The Hollywood Reporter or Deadline or whomever that they have billions of minutes watched of whatever their latest movie is. And if the movie is longer, that means people have to watch it for longer, which means they have higher numbers, higher streaming numbers all the time. And that also applies to documentaries and to TV shows, because I can't tell you the amount of time I've seen a four-part documentary series, which each episode is an hour long. And by the end of it, I'm thinking, that could have been 90 minutes. I don't know why you've stretched that out so long. And it's down to the same thing. It's down to just wanting to get the numbers up. So I think the algorithm has a lot to answer for when it comes to the latest kind of lengthening.
Do you know, two of my team here today told me, Rory, that they actually now, when they're looking for something to watch on Netflix or, you know, or Prime or whatever, they'll go in and they'll filter by what is max 90 minutes duration. That's anything above 90 minutes, they're not looking at it.
That's fair enough. Like, if you come home after work all day and you're
it's like, commitment.
I don't have... Exactly. Like, you're thinking to yourself, listen, I don't have 3.5 hours to dedicate to a movie. And you might not necessarily want to split it across one or two or three nights, however long the movie, depending how long it is. So, yeah, like, there are very popular lists online where you can go, what are the best movies that are 100 minutes or less? Yeah. And more often than not,
hour
you're going to get
half as much. It's funny, Sheila. Ian Rankin made the point, right, that he actually blames the publishers for all of this. He says that they're encouraging writers to go on and to write a little bit more. Sinead is with us, actually. Sinead, you say the longer the better, is that right?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say the longer the better. I'd say, you know, a book should be the length it needs to be. And I think that, you know, a nicely, tightly edited book, that's what's important. Whether that means it's 250 pages, 450 pages, I think it's in the editing. And obviously Sheila will know from a publishing point of view, from an author's point of view about that. But I think that, you know, I've read books that, like, again, going back to talking about Claire Keegan, like, you read a book that's 100 odd pages long and it leaves a little bit in, you know, what happened exactly. And that kind of, I like that in a short story, an ambiguous ending. Some people don't.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's down to taste. Like, do you want everything wrapped up neatly? Do you need an epilogue? Do you want to know what happened to characters 10 years later? Personally, I love to leave a little bit to the imagination.
I got that wrong. Aisling, you believe it's the longer the better. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, one of the best sort of cultural experiences I ever had was during the Dublin Film Festival in the early 2000s. They had an Italian film on called The Best of Youth. And it's 7.5 hours long. And it's amazing. It's an epic. It's the story of a family living sort of in the mid-1950s onwards. And it charts the family's disintegration really up to the current day. And there was an interval after 3.5 hours, and all of us trooped out of the cinema and sat in the foyer, and we'd been told there was going to be an interval. And we all brought little bottles of wine and sandwiches and goodies and had picnics in the foyer, and then trooped back into the cinema for the second part of the film.
You had a break.
And it was really wonderful. Like, it was a really beautiful way to spend a day. And, you know, you were entirely immersed in the experience of the family. It was absolutely riveting and far from boring. And last year, as well, you were talking, you'd gone to 3 movies that you felt were a little too long. What I did one day was I looked up what was on in the Lighthouse Cinema and decided I'd go to 2 films in the one day. And there was a break again, a natural break between the 2 films. So I went to see All of Us Strangers with the 2 Irish actors, Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott. And then I went to see Poor Things, that was, you know, highly acclaimed. Mm. And there was, again, there was a natural break in the programming, but it was really nice to spend so much time in suspended reality, if you like. So, yeah, I really enjoy long films, and I really enjoy binge-watching series on Netflix. I've just binge-watched the documentary, or, well, the drama about the Menendez brothers.
Oh, did
Monsters,
you? Yeah,
and,
I'm in the middle of
yeah,
it.
It's fascinating. You know, I just really enjoy totally give it. And you use the word commitment, you know, committing to something
do
over
you?
A period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I find it very soothing, actually, you know.
Sheila, is Ian rank about that? Like, is it a case that there's pressure from the publishers to encourage yourself and other writers to just to you know, to put pen to paper for a lot longer?
Well, I have never found pressure in that respect. And in fact, sometimes they would say to you, sometimes your agent will say, if you can make something a bit shorter, we might do better on some of the translations, because some languages actually need more words to tell your story. So they're kind of looking for the shorter books. But I do think that if you are writing a book that is multi-layered and does go into backstories of people, and that is necessary for the plot, you have to allow the time and the space to develop and to breathe, and for the characters all to have their own space on the page and their own time in the page. And I think the feedback from readers that you get is that within a book there are people that they relate to, characters that they relate to, and they want to see more of those. And those characters can be different for different readers. I think to you know, it's like doing a painting. You can do a very small little painting and get the essence of something, but also you can do a large, you know, a big landscape painting. And both are important, both are good. But I don't think that publishers generally will ever try and make you write shorter, excuse me, just for the sake of it. Do you know, an editor may say to you, well, we can cut this out and it won't affect the overall.
Is it easier to write a book? Is it easier to write longer than shorter?
Well, it is, because you can throw everything at the page. Yeah. I mean, I write short stories as well as novels. And, you know, the short story takes a lot out of you. It takes more out of you, because you actually need to be so precise. You need to be precise with the language and with the characters and with the plot, whatever that is. So, you know, a short story is so tight that it's a completely different skill set to writing a novel.
Adam,
but you have to hope at the end that people enjoy both.
Absolutely. Adam, what's your thoughts on this? Is it the longer the better for you?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of stories warrant telling, you know, right, and that requires a longer movie. Like, I just think, you know, Schindler's List would have been a lot worse of a movie if it wasn't 3.5 hours long. But there are movies I've seen recently, like you mentioned Killers of the Flower Moon, that was about 3.5 hours as well.
Jeez,
that could have had
a half
an hour, you know, cut off it and told exactly the same story. So I think it depends on the director. Like, Martin Scorsese is very famous for having long movies. And I think because he has so much, I don't know, clout in the industry, that nobody wants to tell him he can't make a 3-hour movie or 3.5 hour
movie. You can do what you want.
So, yeah, I think, yeah. But also, one thing to mention is, like, back in, you know, before, everybody would go to the cinema to watch movies. So ideally having 2 hours or 90 minute movies would suit the cinemas better, because they can squeeze more in on a day. But now most people watch movies at home, so it doesn't really matter too much, and they'd prefer to have more watch time on the, you know, on the streaming services that way. So it makes sense that movies have naturally become a bit longer.
Sinead, what are you recommending to, or what do you recommend to read at the moment in the Tired Mommy Book Club?
Well, our book this month is The Trees by Percival Everett. So we would pick a theme each month. So for October, our theme is sort of spooky reads or Halloween. So, you know, it really depends. And then November, we'll be doing nonfiction. For December, we'll do a Christmas read. So we kind of pick something based on the month. So that's what we're reading at the moment. But I just actually, again, I was saying I was reading Jane Eyre for this event I did yesterday evening for the Redline Festival. And that was actually interviewing the author, Martina Devlin, who's written a book called Charlotte, a Novel, which is a fictionalized kind of story about Charlotte Bronte, who's a fascinating character, one of the Bronte sisters. But it's told from the perspective of, and you'll have to bear with me while I say this, Charlotte's husband's second wife. So basically, Charlotte Bronte died 9 months into her marriage, and her husband then went on and married a woman who he spent 40 years with, but he never forgot or lost his love and affection for Charlotte. So this is a story told from his second wife's perspective.
And his second
wife had met Charlotte while she was on honeymoon in Ireland. So she kind of got to tell the story. And it kind of goes back and forth in timelines. And it's an absolutely wonderful book. What? So I'd highly recommend that one as well, Charlotte, a Novel by Martina Devlin.
What about you, Rory? What do you recommend on the big screen and on streaming services for the weekend?
So I actually recently put out a list of what it's October, it's spooky season, and I put out a list of what I think are the 10 best scary movies of the last 10 years. And some of them are available on streaming and some of them are on PVOD, so the online rental series. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't seen it in the cinema, there's a spooky movie called The Substance, which I think is one of the best horror movies I've ever seen.
Right.
And if you're at home, I'd go either with Barbarian, which is the great home invasion thriller, or there's one a few years ago called The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss, which is kind of a remake of the classic monster movie, but done brilliantly in a real intelligent twist on that. So, yeah, any of them.
Any of those will work. Sheila, what's your recommendation for the week?
Well, I had just on my desk landed this morning The Bookseller's Gift by Felicity Hayes McCoy. And Felicity is a lovely, warm, kind of warm-hearted, generous type of writer. And this is, you know, one of these kind of family stories that I think if you want to curl up with a book and you want to sip your wine with a book or a cup of coffee with a book, I think that this is going to be an absolutely lovely one. And especially, you know, for people who love books, because I think anything that's called The Bookseller's Gift has a lot to go.
Absolutely.
Has a lot going for it.
Sheila O'Flanagan, Rory Cashin, Aisling, Sinead, Adam, thanks a million for getting in touch with us. You can send your own book recommendations into us. It's 087 1400 106.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.